First of all, again, Pastor, thank you for this opportunity. Brother Tim, thank you. I mentioned to Brother Tim, you know, I don't belong there, Brother Tim. You know, I feel like it's like in boxing, you know, before the main event, before Mayweather and Pacquiao, you know, there's the undercard. Those are the supporting bouts. And so this is it. Amen. My wife told me last night, I was nervous the whole week. My wife told me last night, you know, you're included there because of the grace of God. Amen. And sure enough, all the accomplishments that we have is by the grace of God. So stand please, Ezekiel chapter 37, not going to be long. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 4 please. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 4. I will just read these four verses. We're going to pray. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 4. I have some of our men. My dad is here and also our first missionary, Brother Dave. Ezekiel 37 verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Loving Father, we praise you and thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the many, many blessings that you've showered upon us. Lord, tonight we are undeserving. But thank you for your grace, your mercy. Thank you for enabling us in the ministry. I pray, Lord, that you please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to the hearts of the people today. We ask all these things. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel through dreams and visions. In fact, the name Ezekiel means strengthened by God. For 22 years in the ministry, God uses Ezekiel to challenge the people and to strengthen the people. I believe every Christian needs to be strengthened. Amen. Thank God for meeting like this. We need to be challenged. We need to be encouraged. And just like our young people today, they love this energy drink. Red Bull, you know. But for us Christians, this is our energy drink. Amen. Amen. This is our energy book. Ezekiel received six visions. And this is the most familiar in our text tonight. So I'm going to title the message, The Valley of Dry Bones. The Valley of Dry Bones. I'm going to give you four simple thoughts on this subject. I want you to see first, in verses 1 and 2, the observation. The observation. I want you to see here, God carried out in the Spirit. God showed in a vision to Ezekiel. Notice in verse 1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. So God carried here Ezekiel and showed him this vision. Today if you buy television, they have this HD, high definition. Friends, before there was a high definition, it was right here. Because the Bible says in verse 1, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. You could see here, the Spirit of the Lord set me down in the midst of the valley. So God here brought Ezekiel and showed him a vision as if Ezekiel was there in the midst in high definition. And God showed Ezekiel here. I want you to make some observation here. I want you to see the condition. I want you to make some inventory here. I want you to have some observation. Notice in verse 2, the Bible says here, and caused me to pass by them round about. God showed Ezekiel here a vision, And God said here, He brought Ezekiel here and they went around and round and round. God wants Ezekiel to see and to observe. See the condition. Now this valley of dry bones is a picture of hopelessness. I remember 2005. We were serving the Lord in Pacific Baptist Church, Long Beach, California, under Pastor Joe Esposito. I mean, the ministry is great, it's growing. And God starts to work in my heart. Now that year, we're gonna go to Mexico. My family will make a vacation to Mexico. And so God starts to work in my heart. And I told my children, my wife, hey guys, guess what? We're gonna go to Daly City. You could see the reaction of my kids. What? I said, I didn't mention it to them, just to my wife. We were in Daly City. I talked to the people there. Where people gather? They said, go to Serramonte Mall. So that's what we went. We went to Serramonte Mall. All I could see was Asians. All I could see, Filipinos, Chinese. And 48% of the population of Daly City, Asian people. I was walking. I saw this elderly man playing a piano there in the music store. He was playing some church music. So I approached this guy, and very friendly, and I said, my name is Brother Pichardo. God called us here. We're going to start a church there here in Daly City. And I started to ask him a question. Hey, sir, do you go to church? If you die today, are you sure that heaven will be your home? He said, well, Pastor, I have 4 religions, and I'm not planning to add one more. I'm a Catholic, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Charismatic, and I'm an Iglesia Ni Cristo. That's a cult in the Philippines. And so God was showing me, God was saying, that's the people that you're going to be reaching. That's going to be the people. They might have education, they might have religion, but without Christ, they're hopeless, amen. That's going to be the people that you're going to be reaching. They have material things. They might have good health, a good citizen of this land. But friends, without Christ, they are hopeless. And God was simply saying to the preachers tonight, friends, that is our job, to make some observation and to see the community and to see the condition of our people. Amen. I want you to see Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible says here that at that time, you were, notice here, without Christ. Underline those two words, without Christ. In our community, there's people there without Christ. In your workplace, there's people there without Christ. The Bible says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, notice here, having no hope and without God in the world. God wants us to make some observation. God wants us to know the condition of the people of our community or to know the state of our flock. The Bible says, without Christ, they're hopeless. Without Christ, they're hell-bound people. Without Christ, they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Do you know the condition of your people? You know, last year, we invited our mayor to greet our people for our anniversary. And the mayor, it was election time. And the mayor, you know, greeted our people. The mayor said, I love your pastor. I love your church. But, the mayor paused, so I said, uh-oh. I love your pastor. I love your church, but the mayor said, every time we pass our brochures, all we could see was Harvest Baptist Church. Every door that we knock, Harvest Baptist Church cracks. That is a good testimony, I believe. Amen. Hello. Observation. God wants us to observe the people around us.
our circle of influence, our community. I want you to see in the second word here in our text, in verse 3, first is the observation. What I want you to see secondly is the question. In verse 3, notice here that it was not Ezekiel asking the question. It was God asking the question. In verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can this bones live? It was not Ezekiel asking the question here. It was God asking the question. Now we know that our God is an omniscient God. He's an all-knowing God. But when God asks the question, it means God is giving us an opportunity to be honest, to confess, and to be real, to get real. Remember in the Garden of Eden, God asked Adam, where art thou, Adam? God knows where he is, but God was giving him an opportunity to be honest. God was actually waiting for Adam, Lord, I've eaten that fruit, I'm here naked, and I've sinned against you. I want you to see here, God is the one asking the question, can this bones live? Can these bones live? Now again, Ezekiel saw everything by his observation. It's a valley full of dead bones, dry bones, hopelessness, despair. You know, so I was studying here, it is a picture of some churches that are dead as well. Their music is dead. Their preaching is dead. Their missions program is dead. Their soul winning is dead. The spirit of the church, dead. Their young people, dead. Their bus ministry or van ministry, dead. A few weeks ago, there was a lady missionary that came to our church, presented a word. She said, Pastor, I've been to many, many churches presenting, you know, as a missionary. It's very seldom that I could be in a church where people are excited that the people will say amen.
Amen.
The people will enjoy the service. This lady said, you know, Pastor, I'm refreshed. Your church is refreshing. Let me say, tonight, friends, we don't endure the services, amen. We enjoy the services of our churches, amen. I mentioned to our people the happiest place in the world is not this church. It should be the house of God, amen. Church is a glimpse of what we will do in glory land. There's singing, there's fellowship, there's worshiping, there's prayer, there's loving, there's unity, there's compassion, there's excitement. There's renewal. To the world, it's always TGIF. But to us, it should be TGIS. Thank God it's Sunday. Thank God it's church. Amen. Not only, you see, God was asking this question, can this bones live? It was not just a picture of churches that are dead. It's also a picture of Christians that are dead. Maybe there's people here tonight, you are here for a reason. Maybe because your prayer life is dead. Your Bible reading is dead. Your walk with God is dead. Your ministry involvement is dead. Your soul winning is dead. Your spirit of obedience is dead. 2 weeks ago, we had our Friend Day Sunday. Praise God. We have almost 80 people, first-time visitors. A lot of souls, God saved. To God be the glory. But God was asking this question, can this bones
live.
Maybe tonight that is your condition. Maybe there's some areas in your life that is dead. And here God was asking the question. As I was studying here, I want you to see here, Ezekiel answered this to the best of his knowledge. Notice in verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Ezekiel answered it to the best of his ability. Ezekiel was in essence saying, Lord, with men it's impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible, because the God that we serve is an omnipotent God. It's a powerful God. Nothing is too hard for God. You see, we are finite, but our God is infinite. We are created beings, but our God is the creator God. With God there is hope. With God there is life. Our God is still a miracle working God. Thank God, the God that we serve is still able. Amen. He can make something out of nothing. I remember almost 9 years ago now when we were starting the church in Daly City, I got a lot of calls from pastors, but these two pastors called me and said, Brother, you cannot start a church in Daly City. It is a preacher's graveyard. You cannot own a building there. And I said, Thank you, sir, for the encouragement. Amen. I said, Yes, sir, we cannot buy, we cannot have a property. But my God can. 6 years ago, they attended our anniversary. I'm talking about hundreds of people there in our anniversary. And here comes this pastor walking. I didn't say a word. They just shook my hand and said, Pastor, God did bless your ministry. Can these bones live? I want you to see, first of all, here is the observation. Secondly, notice the question. Thirdly, I want you to see here the proclamation. Notice in verses 4 down to verse 6. Again, he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy, to preach, to proclaim the word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but this is very foolish, ridiculous. First, God allowed Ezekiel to observe. All he could see was dead, dry bones. God said, I want you to preach to those dry bones. I remember a preacher. He surrendered to preach at a young age. They have a big backyard. This preacher said, you know, I'm just trying to preach. You know, I want to learn to preach. And so he would go to his backyard. He would preach there. He has some empty cans. He would put some strings there. And he would preach and preach. And then he says, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many here wants to accept Jesus? He would preach the strings, amen. Oh, here you are. Want to get saved? How many here are going to get right with God? So he will put the strings again, amen. Would it be nice, pastors, if we could put some ropes, amen, to our men, amen? Hello. Could you imagine God said, I want you to prophesy, I want you to preach, I want you to proclaim to these dead, dry bones? Now, God did not promise to bless our program. Although, you know, we need to be organized. God did not promise that God will bless a beautiful building, although it will help. God did not promise that He will bless a great special number, or God did not promise that He will bless a great personality. God did not promise that He will bless a tear-jerking illustration. But there's one thing that He promised. In Isaiah 55 verse 11, the Bible says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it." Friends, God promised to bless the preaching of the word of God. Amen. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of a soul and spirit, and it's a discerner in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In Matthew 4 verse 4, the Bible says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." In Isaiah 58 verse 1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins." In 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 4, "Preach the word." Proclamation. In 1996, we came to America in 1996 to pursue our, we call it the American dream. Me and my wife are professionals. We joined an independent fundamental Baptist church. We started serving. In 1999 and 2000, we were able to purchase a house in Southern California. I mean, we're living the American dream. We have good jobs. We just purchased a house. I was teaching Sunday school. My wife plays the piano in the church. We're serving the Lord. And God starts to work in my heart to preach. I would reject it, not pay attention. But the more, you know, there's that, you know it. It's a still small voice. 2001. January 14, a preacher preached in Romans 1:14. My argument, I said, "God, I have so many responsibilities financially. We just bought a house. I have debts to pay." Romans 1:14 was the message there. It was just like me and the Holy Spirit pounding on my heart. "You are indebted to me to preach the gospel." I surrendered. Friends, that one preaching changed my life forever. There's nothing like the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? Oh, we need preaching. Preaching is the Word of God in the hand. It's the fire of God in the heart. It's the zeal of God in the soul. One pastor said the preaching is the moral conscience of a nation. It's the soul of the church. We need to get back to that old passion, preaching of the Word of God. In 1945, the American troops in Okinawa, Japan, found this little tiny village by the name of Shimabuku. 30 years prior to these American troops, a missionary preached the gospel to this small town, small village, and he has two converts. With that two converts, the missionary gave Bibles, teach them Sunday school, songs, encouraged them to live by the Ten Commandments. Sermon on the Mount will be your guide. If you're going to have a school, your literature will be the Bible. For 30 years, there's no jail, there's no crime, there's no bars, there's no drunkenness, there's no affairs, people having an affair. Why, Pastor? They said it's a high level of health and happiness. Why, Pastor? Because of the preaching of the Word of God. Only the Word of God can change the lives of people. Amen? The Word of God transforms. The Word of God guides. The Word of God directs. The Word of God convicts. The Word of God purifies. The Word of God increases our faith. The Word of God cleanses us. The Word of God teaches us to love the Word of God. God's Word will not return void, but it will accomplish what God pleases. I want you to see, first of all, the observation. Secondly, the question. Thirdly, here's the proclamation. I want you to see, lastly here, is the restoration.
Notice in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." Let me say this tonight. God is not in the dead business. God is still in the living business. We serve a living Savior. To Ezekiel, when he was making some observation, all he could see there is valley full of dead, dry bones. I want you to see in these verses how God sees it. In verse 5, notice the last part of verse 5. "I will cause breath to enter in into you," and notice the next three words, "ye shall live." In verse 6, the last part of verse 6, "and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." In verse 9, the last part, "O breath upon this slain, that they may live." The last part of verse 10, "And they lived and stood up upon the feet an exceeding great army." I want you to see here, our God is not in the dead business, still in the living business. The Bible says here from verse 7 down to verse 10, bones to bones, flesh, muscles, tissues, God restored it. God is still in the restoration business. Only God can make something that is dead to be alive again. Only Jesus can change destruction to restoration. To restoration. Maybe you're here tonight. Maybe there's some areas in your life that needs to be revived. God is still in the restoration business. I would like to close with this illustration. We have members from our church, so they know this. But one of our ladies that I'm going to use tonight, I didn't know that her son is here. So he knows, he will know that that will be his mom. Amen. 4 or 5 years ago, through the soul winning ministry of our church, we're able to reach these sisters, single moms. This lady cannot hold a job for 25 years, alcoholic, you name it. But after she got saved, it was a 180-degree turn. One of the blessings, Pastor, one of the blessings of pastoring is to see, you know, the people, how God will change them right before your eyes. She became faithful. Every time the church door is open, we call it three to thrive. She was there. Soul winning, she's there. Choir practice, she's there. She starts to grow in the Lord. And she said, "Pastor, can you please pray that I could have a job?" Sure enough, 2 or 3 weeks after that, God gave her a good job. And I said, "Sister, if you will just work hard and keep your testimony, God will promote you." Sure enough, that first year she was promoted. That second year she was promoted. That third year, she became an assistant supervisor. That fourth year, she was, you know, they want her to be the supervisor. But she said, "No, because supervisor, you need to work Sunday." A few months ago, August of this year, we had our missions conference. 8 of our people surrendered to the mission field. One of them was my daughter. And one of them was this lady. Could you imagine? 4 or 5 years ago, friends, hopelessness. But now, restored. Amen. Our God is still in the restoration business. Can these bones live? Whatever your situation, your condition, nothing is impossible with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.